long. But now I found was blind. But now I see.
Man, it's good to see each one of you out tonight. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures and read with us Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17. We'll try to read this and then speak a while and get into our communion, foot washing. But just pray for us, because these messages are hard to preach on. I know now, and I'm trying to just slow down and just speak along the level that all of us can understand what we're talking about. And then maybe we'll get into some things, you know, as we go along the way. But we're trying to get these natural things, I guess you'd call them, of some of it out of the way. So let's just read from Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Father, we thank you for your loving grace, and we ask you that you would just now come among us, speak to us, Lord, your understanding, that you would guide us, that you'd give us the understanding we have need of. Forgive our sins, teach us by your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody check that heater back there or something. Somebody moved it or something. Make sure they're off, because I get a whiff of gas every once in a while up here. I don't want nobody to get none of that while we're in here. But this message that we're talking about, this sixth seal that we just read, we need to remember one thing about a scripture. I just thought of it while we were reading that here in about some six verses of reading, there's a 3.5 year period of time covered. So just keep that in mind as we go along, and then you won't be confused with the fact of just saying the seal's open like that. You know, there's some 3.5 years of tribulation. We know this seal is a tribulation seal, and there's some 3.5 years of that seal that tribulation that we'll have to be covering on. And I won't necessarily point out right here is where this happens, and then 3.5 years later, this is what happens. We just try to go through the natural part of the seal, because what I was trying to get to this morning is that we get the mystery of the redemption. Now, I hope you listen to that real careful. I tried to just slow down, and maybe that's what we're having to do now, is just slow down real slow and not try to preach so fast that you can't understand us, or say things, you know, that sometimes you get under the anointing of preaching and you'll just preach along and you won't think too slow. You'll be thinking fast. But now, I hope you was catching what I was talking about, because what we've got to see is we've got to look at the seal and see what takes place under the seal. And that's what we've been doing as we come all the way down through there, that we've got to see the seal and then see what takes place under the seal. Then in that we can catch the mystery of redemption that's supposed to be revealed to us. Now, did you understand what I was bringing out this morning about that? That the seal's breaking, and you'll see something. I saw something there a while ago in the back room that I'd never rightly understood. And when we get to it, I believe that you'll see something that will be an enlightening to us. And you'll see what we've been doing all the time and trying to get a foundation where the Lord can speak to us. Because there's something happening, and that's what I was talking about, the presence of the Lord, and we don't want to miss His presence being among us and all. If the Lord is breaking the seals, then something's happening. And maybe we'll see a little later on what more about what that is than what we see right now. See, maybe we'll be able to get to a place to see it. But now, what was we trying to cover? That we get the mystery of the seals. We don't necessarily get the literal happenings because we wasn't back there through the church ages. That could open and show us that. Because the seals show what have been, what is, and what will be. But see, what everybody wants to talk about is the seals showing what has been and what will be. They don't want to talk about what is now. And wait till we get down to the end of this tonight and just look at what the prophet said, that they sit right in these meetings and laugh at the word and reject it and turn it down and they go to the tribulation. Now that's what he said about it. That's not my words, that's his words. We'll read it to you out of the sixth seal. That people sat right in these meetings, he said. Now you'd say, well, that was back there, Brother Dale, in 63. All right, that was back there in 63. That makes me better off than most of them because I wasn't back there in 63. You see what I'm talking about? There wasn't any of us there when the seals was preached. So that'd make us in better shape than the one that would think we was in bad shape. See, I like to say it's like this, that under the breaking of the seal, when the seals break to the people and they see it, there'll be people that'll sit right among us and laugh at the word and turn it down and not realize that God has been among us, and they go to the tribulation because of it. Now just watch that part. But now what I wanted you to see now, we tried to cover it, that when the seal breaks, it might just reveal the tribulation. Our fifth seal, souls on the altar, being the Jews. First seal, white horse rider, that's the Antichrist, as he wrote out. But there's got to be something in those seals personal to me and you. That's what I want us to get today. That there's got to be something there with us that God can speak to us in our lives. As I said this morning about John on the Isle of Patmos, see, it was something in John's life that God brought out there was showing him the revelation. It's something in his life. All right, then that's what we want to see is something in our own revelation, because you can't go in just because mom and daddy going. We can't just go in because brother, sister, somebody else, because pastor's going up. We've got to have our own revelation of God. It wouldn't do any good for me to have the revelation if you don't have it. It wouldn't matter how much revelation your husband's got or your wife's got. If you don't have it, you don't go. That's as simple as it can be put. Then it's personal between me and God, isn't it? It's personal between you and God. Because God is living in us. But now, let's just look at something for a minute, just review this morning, because I wanted you to see that when the seal breaks, it might just show some point that we look at. But we look at the seal, and what happens under the seal, then it shows us something that's happening to us, and then we know what the seal is then. See, because something's happened in our own personal life that we can see. All right, we saw how that the fifth seal revealed Israel and how that she'll be redeemed one of these days and given white robes because of the grace that God granted unto her. All right, then can you see yourself from that grace that was extended to them, can you see yourself that God extends grace to me and you that way? See, by looking at them in the seal, as I said this morning, that wouldn't redeem me. That wouldn't have anything to do with my redemption. just to know that that redeemed them. But if I see how he redeemed them, and then I see how that he's working in me the same way that he worked through them, then I can put myself in that seal. Can you do that? Then your self seal show up there. Because from seeing what's revealed unto them or how they're redeemed, see, then we can see how that we're redeemed, and the mystery of redemption is added there. You see the mystery of redemption. All right, we ended up this morning on saying that his presence was among us. And watch this be a very foundation now to come right into the sixth seal. You remember on the sixth seal, Brother Brown said, I got to stop right there. He said, if I go any further, I'll go right into that plague under the seventh seal. And he said, I've got a note here to stop X saying, don't go any further than right here. All right, then every one of the seals overlap. And watch this from what we found from the fifth seal, that the presence of the Lord was with us. If we just recognize it, and how that every person that ever saw that cried out, Lord, I'm unclean. I'm not worthy. See, just watch that now as it comes out in the message. Look what the prophet says on page 400 of the seal book. You just got through covering a foundation to start into the sixth seal. He said, when the Lamb was slain, the names were put on the book. He's standing in the holy place tonight in glory as an intercessor, making intercessions for every one of those whose name is on the book. And nobody knows that name but him. He's the one that's got the book in his hand, and he knows when the last one comes in, then his intercessory days are over. He comes forth then to claim what he's interceded for. He's doing the kinsman redeemer work now and comes forth to receive his own. Oh my, that ought to set every Christian to searching himself. To see that our names were there, to see through the breaking of the seals our names are there, and to see that God is going to come forth because he's been back there doing the redeeming work. To see that, then he says that ought to set every Christian to searching himself and holding his hands before God and saying, cleanse me, O Lord. Look into my life and let me see where my bad parts is. Let me get it out of the way right quick. Listen to the scripture he uses now. For if the righteous be scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? He said, it's checking up time. Now the Bible says that if the righteous are scarcely saved, are just barely saved, we'll put it in that word. I don't think it would change the meaning of scarcely. In other words, if the righteous just barely make it in, the scripture says, where will a sinner and the ungodly appear? The sinner is the make-believer, and the ungodly is the sinner. You know, the person is just sold out in sin. But the one you use in there where it says the sinner, then that's the person who is a make-believer. That's following right along with you, sitting right in there with you, but we'll find out one of these days they've spurned mercy. See, you see what the background? Now, I wrote that in my notes back yonder, and I kept transferring that same thing over because I knew it would fit that seal when it come to it. And to see that we, if we are not careful, we'll reject his presence being among us. And then by doing that, we'll turn down the very word where it ought to put us into desperation and make us searching after the Lord and searching our lives. And knowing that if the righteous, if the truly born again Christian just barely makes it, what will be the condemnation then upon the sinner, the unbeliever? And then just the plain ungodly, just a rank sinner out there that knows nothing about God. Then in order to make us study, or search our lives and seek out our lives and say, Lord, where am I at? Cleanse me. And Isaiah got into the presence of the Lord. What did he say? He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in a people of unclean lips. All right, then we ought to search our lives and to watch our lives daily before others, because you might be called a fanatical kook or laughed at or made fun of for a while. See, people has totally misunderstood me all the way down through there. I've been called everything from a legalist to I don't know whatever. Just because that I simply believed in living right. I've made brothers violently offended at me just because I didn't believe in going out and killing deer out of season, or killing too many deer, or killing a doe when you wouldn't allowed it, or turkey, or any kind of an animal, or speeding up and down the highways out here. Now, we all drive too fast. We all do enough wrong. Without saying, like a man told us here a while back at work one day down there, he said, I was coming down the highway running about 75 miles an hour, and he said, all at once I just, you know, he's explaining how he felt to slow down or saw something and he slowed down. He said, I slowed it down to about 55 and round the curve, and I set the police. He said, boy, the Lord was really with me, taking care of me. Well, you know, I could go out and kill about 15 deer and come up the highway and the game board and sitting there and him not stop my car, and I could come on and say, boy, the Lord was with me, wasn't he? See, we make a mockery out of the gospel. You might have to walk alone. You might have to come to a place that you just walk by yourself. But just keep on walking. Where you work and the things you do and all, you might wind up to be a fanatic as far as they're concerned. They might not want to be with you, but just remember the Lord said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. Well, I'd rather have Him with me than anybody I know of. I cherish my brothers and the fellowship of my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'd rather have the Lord with me than anybody else. If you don't feel that way, I'd rather have the Lord with me than have my wife with me. And if she don't feel that way about me, then she needs to get up here in the altar. If she hadn't rather be with the Lord than to be with me, she needs to get in this altar and get that prayed off of her then. But see, we look at the Word, and we see what the Word says about us and how we would be down here in this time, and right down here we are. Well, that ought to make us rejoice then. In tribulation, we ought to rejoice. Not wrath of God, as we'll study the great tribulation, but when things are happening to us every day because of what we believe, we ought to rejoice. Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. Now, that's one we ought to consider. There's not too many people throws off on Brother Dale. I mean, you know, my brothers in Christ throw off on me more than the natural world does. And that's the truth. The ones that claim to be my brothers in Christ throw off on me more than the sinner out there does in the world, because all of them are good to me and would do anything to help me. Well, see, then we ought to be saying, like the prophet said, when we begin to see these things, we ought to be coming to a place that we realize that His presence is among us. And without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, there'd be none of us worthy. But yet, with His grace extended unto us from seeing that in the fifth seal, then He says, we're worthy, don't He? And He says for us to come into His presence, invites us. Well, because of His worthiness, not because of mine. Not how good I've been. But now, with that in mind, that He tells us to recognize His presence, and that when we come to that place that we recognize that presence, and we see our lives and see them unworthy, then we go into the sixth seal. And you'll see that that seal shows the mystery of redemption unto us, that Jesus Christ will come right among us here. and that it'll be here so much until the dead will be raised. That's what it's all about. That's the mystery of redemption. No one could ever understand the mysteries before that God would want it, was wanting to live among His people. And fellowship right here with us so much. But now, let's just go right into the sixth seal now and think about it, because this morning we're talking about that the sixth seal would be the tribulation period. All right? You'll find him saying that on 401. Some of these I'll just give you the seal book, and you read it when you get home. That this is the tribulation period. The sixth seal is the tribulation period. All right? The church does not go through the tribulation. Now, here's proof of it, if you'll just take it and think about it. There's no combat beast on the sixth seal. There was no combat beast on the fifth seal we saw, so we knew that wasn't pertaining to us. And we saw it was Israel. All right? There's no combat beast on the sixth seal. To announce this seal when it breaks, there's no combat beast there. And being no combat beast, there's your proof that the church is done gone. Now, the church went up in the fourth chapter of Revelation. We remember that. So the seals then just pick up and carry on. But the bride is not here. He says that on page 409 of the seal book. The bride's not here with us. I mean, you know, here at the time of the sixth seal. What we're studying, you'll find on the seal book, he says, what we're studying is beyond the church and the rapture. See what we're talking about it. So that's what I was trying to get to you this morning and still trying to get to you. You'd say, well, what would that have to do with us if it's on after we're gone? Well, that's what I say. What would it have to do with us? But if we look at it rightly and see it, then we can see whatever's to them, we'll see it pertains to us. By seeing their redemption and what happens in the tribulation and who's saved there and how they're saved, what happens, then we can see what happens to us under the revelation of the seal. You understand me? In that background, under the revelation of the seal, we'll see what happens to us here now and what's going on. What's taking place right now, see, is something that you'll see by the seals as you go through. The fifth, sixth, and seventh show us how we're redeemed. But now as we enter the sixth seal and talking about it, I want to just read a few things to you as we go along. Just think on what he's saying there. When this sixth seal opens, watch what the prophet says. This is 408 of the seal book. But when it comes to dealing then with Israel, in this part of the 70 weeks, he deals with them as a nation. The Gentiles are finished. The hour is soon coming, and maybe yet is this very night, that God will completely turn from the Gentiles altogether. Exactly, he said so. They shall tread down the walls of Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation be finished. The times are over, yes sir, and then, listen, let him that is filthy stay filthy. Let him that's righteous be righteous. There's no more blood on the seat in the sanctuary at all. As we enter this sixth seal tonight, I want you to think, when you enter this sixth seal, watch it in a minute and you'll see why, but there's no lamb on the mercy seat. When you come to this place in your understanding of the revelation, there's no lamb on the mercy seat. Now, when we taught the fifth seal, we come to a place in there, I said, see there, redemption is over. And then we begin to talk about how that it was for an individual that it was open. Not for a group, but for an individual. But now when this seal comes forth here, and we begin to see it, the Lamb's done left the mercy seat. Now, if you'll go back to 107 of the seal book, you'll find the prophet talking about that when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, it becomes judgment seat. All right, now, as far as Israel is concerned, let's take it that away now for a minute. As far as Israel is concerned, the Lamb is still on the mercy seat. When the rapture of the church comes, the church is gone, say it would happen today, that Lamb is on that mercy seat until He comes to Israel. But then when He comes to Israel to break this seal, He leaves the mercy seat for them. When we see the message rightly for us now, we saw from the fifth seal that redemption was over for us, and that when the seals break, that we are already redeemed because He's already done it. This seal shows that when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, there's no more mercy. Where does He go? Now for us, we're talking about now, not to Israel or anything else. Where does He go when He leaves the mercy seat? You remember in the Old Testament about the mercy seat? Go back there and read in Exodus about 25 and all through there, 26, about the making of the mercy seat. When God made a mercy seat, He made a place there and He put cherubims to guard that mercy seat, which that mercy seat would finally be the heart of man to where that the angels would guard it. We all know the teaching of it and how that it's come down and comes to where we are now. But they was, as long as that Lamb was on that mercy seat, or as you'd say in the Old Testament, as long as the blood was on the mercy seat, they made a mercy seat. Aaron took in once a year the blood, you know, for everybody, and he sprinkled the mercy seat. Right, as long as there was an atonement on that mercy seat, there was grace. But once the atonement left the mercy seat, then it became judgment seat. As the man was told of Brother Brown telling about the boy that went to court. One time he went in or something happened and this man went in and paid his money for him. Something of that order. You remember the boy that happened, the story of it? He took care of his debt. But then they come another time. The boy had done something really bad wrong. The man couldn't do it. He said, now I've become from your one that set you free before, but he said, now I've become your judge. See, he had become the judge at that place. Where the eyes of prophet said one day, of Jesus Christ look down in love and mercy upon us. There'll come a day, every denomination's always taught that at least, or to know that there comes a day when those eyes of love turns to eyes of judgment. Judgment then. There's no more mercy. When the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, there's no more mercy. And the prophet says here that he left the mercy seat that we're reading about. When you come to this sixth seal, there's no blood on the altar, he says. There's no more blood on the seat in the sanctuary at all. There's no more blood on the altar. The sacrifice has been removed, and there's nothing but smoke and lightning and judgment in there. And that's exactly what's poured out here tonight. In other words, when the seal was breaking, you read your scripture there, what happened? There was an earthquake. All the things that happened. Now watch, the Lamb's done left His mediatorial work. The mediatorial work has been finished from over on the throne, and the sacrifices, we typed Him perfectly, the kinsman redeemer, the bloody Lamb that come forth, the Lamb that had been slain, a bloody one been killed, bruised, come forth and took the book out of His hand. That's the days are finished now. He's coming to claim what He has redeemed. All right, when you enter the sixth seal, you see that redemption will be over for us. We'll done be gone. Everything's done happening under the natural part of what you're looking at. And Israel, the 144,000 are called out. God leaves a mercy seat right there and comes to them. Because we'll get to it later, innit? Brother Brown says, right here is where God rides on the scene. He comes on the scene there to Israel in the second coming of Christ to the Jews. See, that's what we're trying to look at, the natural part of the seal. Then we look back at ourselves and we can see it. Because he leaves that mercy seat for Israel. And the first thing that happens when he leaves the mercy seat, or as the seal breaks, what does it say? Look at your scripture. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was an earthquake. And there was an earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became its blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. And then how the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and every island was moved out of their places. When the sixth seal to Israel breaks, God comes on the scene to them. On page 500 of the seal book, or 502 right in there, the prophet says when he leaves the mercy seat, he becomes down here. Now, I've preached on that enough over the times that you ought to remember it. When he leaves the mercy seat, he becomes right down here. So there's something in this sixth seal that brings God on the scene. It brings him on the scene right there to Israel. This seal brings God right straight to Israel in the tribulation. And when it does, then they see the Lamb has left the mercy seat. That mercy seat that was back yonder in the Old Testament, as long as it was there, everything was all right. But when that sacrifice left that mercy seat, the same seat became a judgment. And here we stand today at the end of time, not realizing that, as the prophet said, he might leave that, as I read you there a minute ago, he might leave there any minute. He said, after a series of earthquakes, and we'll connect the earthquake with it in just a minute. Brother Brown said, after a series of earthquakes, California will go under. One of the worst they've had was out there just the other day. Things are mounting up. Everything's getting right ready for that. But listen, we've got to get out of here before that tribulation hits. If we don't, if we're not in safety, now watch it in a minute, it'll be just like that. It'll be so close until we'll see it in Egypt. And see it all the way through the Bible that it'll be so close till Brother Branham could talk about the earthquake at the resurrection. Now, he could speak of that right there and bring it right down to this seal. Because watch now, when this seal opens, when this sixth seal opens, we read it to you in the Bible there, there's an earthquake. Nature takes a tumble when it comes forth. Now, watch what the prophet said, and we'll just read these, 408. Nature will take a tumble. We find out, John said, I beheld that when he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. Then all nature was interrupted. God's been doing great things. Now listen, that's back before then now. He's been doing great things, like healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and doing great works, that we find out here that nature takes a tumble, took a tumble. Yes, sir, all nature. Look, what happened? What taken place? The earthquake. The sun went black. The moon wouldn't give its light, and the stars shook and fell. Why? Everything happened. See, right at the time of the opening of this sixth seal, that's when it takes place, right immediately after the announcing of the martyrs. That was under the fifth seal, wouldn't it? Then the sixth seal opens with an earthquake. You read the whole seal book when you get, I mean, the whole sixth seal when you get a chance. This is 432. Here it is. They're the ones who bring on this sixth seal. They uncover and open it up. It's the power of God to interrupt nature See, the sixth seal is completely an interruption of nature. Now, here's something I want to caution us about. In covering this message tonight and for a while, as I said, it lay there so close until it'll be just almost to the place that the bride will be in the tribulation before the rapture comes. But we can get all bound down now with technicalities. And I am a technical person when it comes to seeing things. But I want to caution us, we can get bound down with technicalities that we'll start questioning in our mind, well, if there's an earthquake at the resurrection and there's an earthquake at the opening of the seal, then will we be in the tribulation? Because we know we're going to be around here 30 or 40 days after the resurrection, you know. Well, now, we can get bound down in that, and I warn us tonight. We can get bound down in them things, and them little petty questions can keep us from listening to what the preacher's saying. That's what's happened throughout my time of being trying to see the seals. People have tried by their little picky ways. Instead of listening to what I was saying to them, they took the things that I was saying and begin to pick at it with little things. Then when you preach sixth seal sanctification, they get picky. Will we be in the tribulation period? Well, now listen, I warn you now, let's don't go that way. Let's just lay it down and watch what the prophet, as he brings it right down, and then we'll just place it out there and we'll know that the church goes up. See, the church's got to go this way. And then the tribulation sets in. But it'll be so close it won't be but that higher between it, and they could be an overlap. I don't know and I don't care. Because I can see a church that could be here and I can find scripture for it, but what does that matter? I'm not talking about us in the tribulation of wrath. There won't be one ounce of the wrath of God poured out with the bride here. But the bride could be in another dimension already being changed and taken out, and things could take place. So let's just don't get confused now with little technicalities as we go through it. Because if we ain't careful, we'll take the earthquake here that I'm fixing to get into, and we'll say, well, there's an earthquake, the opening of the sixth seal, and there's an earthquake at the resurrection. You know, we might be looking for the wrong earthquake. The earthquake that just happened might have been the one with the resurrection in it. I'll just say it that way, where we get off of the ideas and thoughts of people then. There'll be an earthquake at the resurrection of the sleeping bride of Christ. Because there was one when Jesus resurrected. But instead of looking at the seal to see what we can see from it, we can get technical to look at it and try to put this here and that there and all at once. If you ain't careful, I can take it and bring it right down tonight before you and put the church right here 40 days after the tribulation sets in. Well, now that wouldn't do us no good. What we've got to see is the church go out before the tribulation sets in. And then let the earthquakes and the things, the only reason I bring it up, because when you get into the seal, you'll see how close it is. But Brother Branham knew what he was doing. He said, we go up, the two witnesses come down. Now listen, the two witnesses come down as we go up. Then it would have to be a separate earthquake that you'd be speaking of. Because the two witnesses, we'll find out later, they opened that sixth seal. I just read it to you right there. It said they opened it. See, they can open that seal anytime they want to. And that lays identically with what the prophet of God done in the last day. That's what I said I saw back there a while ago. Maybe we'll get to it later and speak on it more, but who do you think opened the seals in the last day? Well, I can just hear that out on tape when it gets out and people hear it. They won't listen to the rest of what I'm fixing to say. Who do you think opened those seals? I can stand right here and preach it all the way through and show you Brother Branham opened those seals. And then people will come along, the Lamb opened the seals. I ain't talking about Brother Branham opening a seal like they're thinking about I'm talking about it. The two witnesses opened the sixth seal. I can show you that right out of the book. They can open it anytime they want to. Are they the Lamb? They opened the sixth seal. Are they the Lamb? No, we know they ain't the Lamb. We know Brother Branham ain't the Lamb. Then we know the two witnesses don't open the seal like we're talking about. Open the seal. The Lamb opens the seal. Then we know Brother Branham didn't open the seals like you'd think I was talking about, because the Lamb opened the seals and sent it down by the prophet messenger to us. Because that seventh seal, it takes God Himself to open it. And Brother Branham wasn't God. It takes the Lamb Himself to open it. And Brother Branham said, I'll show you a mystery that's been going on all this week. You think about that now until we get back to it one of these days and speak on it. This sixth seal, there's a complete interruption of nature when this seal comes forth. There's a total interruption of nature. It all goes into a chaos. When the Lamb leaves the mercy seat for Israel, it becomes judgment seat to the entire world. Is that true? When the Lamb, now watch the close enough, when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat for the bride, it doesn't become judgment for everybody, because Israel's not saved at that time. She might be in there for the purification. But just think now, as we go through it, read that 107, how that when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, He comes to claim His own. Now let's just watch what He covers under the sixth seal, and you'll see that it's us, 445. The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there, or the throne of sacrifice. Come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice laid, and then it's over. There's no more hopes for the world. She's finished. Then she goes into frustrations, a great spasm of earthquakes. See, there'll be more earthquakes happen. Then she goes into frustrations, a great spasm of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. As Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. What happened when Jesus rose from the grave? There was an earthquake. Read Matthew there at the last of it. Lord, it could be at any minute. We're watching for that glad day to arrive. Take your children under your arm now. Draw your little lambs to your bosom and feed them on the Word until they are in strength for service. One of these days, there'll be an earthquake. The sixth seal will open in that earthquake. But listen, there will be an earthquake and a resurrection of the dead. Because we just read it to you. There'll be an earthquake. So we're looking at what happens to them and seeing what will happen here now. See, looking at the seal to them, we see an earthquake to them. You understand me? We see God come on the scene, as we'll get to it later, right there in the tribulation to them. All right, in the same thing, seeing it to them now, bring it over here to us. God will come on the scene to us, and there'll be a resurrection. And at that resurrection, there'll be an earthquake. See, that fits the Scriptures then. If you don't, your Scriptures won't fit. Try to put that earthquake together there as the same earthquake, and where have you put it? You won't have us going up, and the two witnesses coming down, and the two witnesses breaking the seal, and the earthquake happening. So then what would you have then? You'd have the bride going up.
You got an earthquake. And the bride going up. We'll just put it that way. You've got an earthquake going, and the bride going up. Then you've got two witnesses that come on the scene. As we go up, they come down, and then there's an earthquake. And Zechariah brings out the earthquake to the Gentiles in the last days. I just got through listening to the message here today at the church, a portion of it, of what is the attraction on the mountain. And read that book when you get a chance. Or listen to the tape of What is the Attraction on the Mountain, where Brother Branham explains Ezekiel 14, 4 through 8. And how that he says that the same prophet that saw the first coming of the Lord in an earthquake saw the second coming of the Lord in an earthquake. So then we're bringing it right down, jerk. I don't see how you can fail to see that part of it. That what I was talking about this morning is right, and what I'm still talking about is right. If we can look at them and see what's happening to them, then we can look at ourselves and see what's happening here. And see that when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat, it becomes judgment seat. Earthquakes, great spasms of things starts happening under that sixth seal tribulation. And when it does start happening like that, then we can know for a surety that it's already something happened over here to us, because we get the spiritual revelation and get out of here before they get the literal. But can you see it? We looked at the fifth seal. Didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. Look at the sixth seal. And see how that sixth seal is over there to Israel and opens with an earthquake. And then look back and see that the bride of Christ comes to a place in God that he can change us, and there's an earthquake at the resurrection. Those are so close together, to if you ain't careful, you'd make it the same earthquake. But Zechariah points out where it's at, and Brother Branham says that's the earthquake to the Gentiles in the last days. See, there's to be a great earthquake. And the whole world now is just belching and rolling and backwards and forth. People dying by the thousands every year through earthquakes. And the prophet said, after a series of earthquakes, California will go under. It's after a series of earthquakes. Well, all right, then where are we at now? Right down here, in this end time, knowing that any minute the Lamb can leave the mercy seat. Now, we was talking about the other day that when the Lord reveals to you the seal, then redemption's over to you. All right? Now watch this. When he reveals it to all of us, redemption's over for everybody. When all the bride of Christ catches the revelation and sees that she's redeemed, then redemption's over then for everybody, and mercy seat becomes judgment seat. There was a time that Esau sought with tears, repented for what he had done. But he could not get the birthright. Jacob already had it. There comes a time when people will cry for the rocks and the mountains. We read it to you right there out of the sixth seal. People will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Now listen. I'm going to make a statement maybe you might not like, and I don't like to make it. But there's not too many people in the world that's looking for the tribulation in the way that we're looking for it. Most of your denominations teach you're going through the tribulation. Ask them about it. Most of them teach you're going through it. Ask them. Talk to them about it. They teach that you're coming down there and that there'll be a minor tribulation, that there'll be the great things start happening, and then all of those things, and then the Lord will finally come. Just talk to them and see if that ain't what they're teaching. That's the basics of every denomination that there is. But we know that if there's one speck of the wrath of God strikes the earth, like I said, the church has got to go up before the two prophets come down that can open that seal. We go up, they come down, then they open the seal. Then the tribulation sets in. All right, then, if we're here, the Scripture speaks of how that there would be blocks of ice fall. Now listen, we've seen in our day already now, you've read of ice falling that's as big as a baseball, golf balls and stuff like that. And just tear a building all to pieces, just tear a house up. I've seen it no bigger than not as big as a golf ball. I've seen it about like a ping pong ball back in the 50s one time here. And it stripped the tops off of every house around here just about. I've seen it when it was no bigger than your thumb and it sounded like it's tearing everything apart. What about when they fall, and the Scripture says, weighing a talent. And according to studies of that talent, that's about between 90 and 100 pounds. God is going to rain down one of these days judgment for the people that have rejected His Word. And we turn it down, then where do we go? Now listen. Those people we've tried to teach, there'll be plenty more people in heaven, so you think about it now. There is a foolish virgin. You'll read in the sixth seal that Brother Branham says, the church will go through the tribulation, but he said, not the bride. See, there's a difference between the bride and the church, because the bride comes out of the church. All right, then there's a difference in the two. But now you think, there'll be plenty of people go to heaven that will give their life. That's what I was talking about this morning, that we go right on preaching. We go right on believing. People come in and they say, we want to believe the Word. We want to walk in the Word. Well, all right, do everything you can to help them. Because they've got to learn somewhere to give their life for the gospel. And then when they do, sure, a block of ice might fall away in a talon on them and kill them. But God will take them on and give them eternal life one of these days. That's a glorious thing, isn't it? But what about a church now? What about a church that goes on before the tribulation strikes? Noah was in the ark before one drop of rain ever fell. Even Lot was out of Sodom before it rained down fire and brimstone. See, we're going to get out of here. But something in that sixth seal will have to bring it to us. And we'll see that later in another message. We'll just keep on going. But what I want you to see now is one point. You spurned mercy. Judgment seat is what's waiting. We turn down God and His mercy. There'll come a time that you'll seek and can't find it. We read it to you right out of the Scripture. That what about a person come to the place that where we was reading there from the sixth seal, that they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains and all to fall on them? What about a person that the Bible speaks of that will try to die and can't? What about there in the Scripture where it speaks of how that they'll rot in their own flesh? Read the book of Revelation and the things that'll happen. Nuclear warheads and things blasting away. And Brother Brown said, bombs waiting on this United States. He said, but we get out of here before one bomb drops. Just burn the flesh, clean off your body, and you still can't die. I wish I could make it, just as hard as I could make it, to some of you to see it, that what you'll get if you're not in Christ. I wish there was some way I could draw a picture to where that you could see it. The worst chaotic condition that could ever be. I went with my wife when her mother was still living and we had to take her to the places to get the treatment for the cancer she had. And saw people there with all kind of things on them. And saw my mother-in-law with this her flesh just eat clean up.
from the treatments that they had given her and then got an infection and all in that. And to see the world out there and to think about there's earthquakes been that there's been 5 and 10 and 50,000 people killed in one earthquake. There's been things happen out there on the highways that people would cry to die and they couldn't die. My dad-in-law told me one time of a man that was trapped under a car and they turned over a lantern and gas poured under where he was at and the car caught on fire. He wasn't even hurt at all, just trapped under there. But yet when it caught on fire, they couldn't get to him. And he said the man screamed and cried for somebody to kill him. But I wish I could paint a picture like that, that you'd see it. But it wouldn't do any good. It wouldn't do any good. Because Christ had already took care of it. All we got to do is just believe it. He's already settled the sin question if we just believe it. But we go on now. Judgment waits us. If we don't make the rapture, then tribulation awaits us. Tribulation is the wrath of God. You've never seen the wrath of God. You see these storms that happen? You know what's causing that? God allows it to happen, yeah. But you know who's causing it? The Bible says Satan is the prince and power of the air. God doesn't cause them earthquakes and things to happen. The prince and power of the air is what's causing it. Well, surely if we can see that, then one of these days, what would it be when there is no mercy? When mercy seat has become judgment seat. And even the message, that even what we'll read tonight from the communion says if we'll judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. But yet we just go along. This. No concern. But it'll be over with. Mercy seat becomes judgment seat. If you put a title at all of this message, not just put mercy seat to it, because that'd be as good a one as any, the sixth seal. Message number two would be mercy seat. Because if we spurn mercy, then we deserve it. We deserve what we get. Judgment waits, the prophet said. That's 441. I want to just read this and then we'll close and go into our communion. Let's just see what we're doing while this sixth seal in the literal extent there's happening, what's going on. It's time for the sixth seal pretty soon to be opening up. And when she does, oh my, the end. The bride has done gone forth. The queen has done went to her place. She's being married now to the king while this is going on. While the tribulation is poured out here on this earth, the bride of Christ is being married to the king. Won't that be a wonderful thing that we miss it? Not only just that we miss it, but it would be married, being married to the king. And Israel's remnant is sealed and ready to go. Then nature lets go. And oh, what a time. Notice the last verse of the sixth seal open. Those who had life at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God, when them prophets that stood there and performed miracles and closed the sun and everything else, and all down through the age, they cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them, to hide them from the word that they had life at, because they can see him coming. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the Word, see. They had laughed at the Word. And here the Word was incarnate, and they made fun of it. Now, just because that's talking about two witnesses, listen to what he says about the rest of it. And you'll know it wasn't just talking about the two witnesses. Laughed at them, made fun of them, and the incarnate Word had dropped forth. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. Too far then. So they knew that the punishment, they hear it. They sat in meetings like this and knew about it. And they knew that the things that those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. And the thing that they had rejected, they had spurned mercy for the last time. And when you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment when you spurn mercy. Let's stand together. There's nothing left but mercy, but judgment when you spurn mercy. When you turn it down, there's nothing left but judgment. And the Bible says judgment begins at the house of the Lord. The Bible says we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Now, if we won't judge ourselves, then there'll be nobody to blame but ourselves. There won't be any mercy. You can cry all you want to then. You can seek the Lord all you want to one of these days, and it'll all be over. You can promise, I'm going to straighten up my life. I'm going to do better. I'm going to live better. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. One of these days, you'll do it for the last time. It'll be the last time you'll do it. And then you'll seek for it. You can't find it. You'll be like Brother Branham said that girl was, that he talked to her in a meeting one night and told her she better come to the altar. And he saw her sometime later, and she was trying to offer him a drink of liquor and things like that. And she said, since you told me that, said, now I could see my mother's soul fry in hell in life. She'd turned down the mercy. You remember the time the woman that Brother Branham tried to talk to her, get her to see about the Word and how to live the right Word and all? And she said, I wouldn't have my cow with that kind of religion. But on her deathbed, he said she suffered so much agony till her eyes was popping out and the freckles she had on her face just swelled up, and she died crying for him to come. But it's done too late. It's done too late. See, one of these days, Brother Branham said, there'd be a little voice speak and say it's done too late, and he missed it. See, as I said there a while ago, maybe I didn't finish my point, there's not nobody else looking for the tribulation, for us to be gone before the tribulation sets in, except to basically the people of this message. There's a few other denominations that are teaching that, but basically the people of this message are the only ones that know that the Bible teaches we get out of here before the tribulation sets in. So who will it be? It'll be there then crying for the rocks to fall on. It'll be me and you if we don't make it in the rapture. It'll be me and you if we don't get in Christ. Before we go into the communion, let's just have a little time, and you search your heart. Never head bowed, never eye closed. And you just search your heart. Because that's what the prophet said we're supposed to do. If we realize His presence is here among us, and church, I don't see how in the world we could ever pass it up. Because He's been so gracious to us. His presence has to be here. Then if we can recognize that, then search your heart. Children, teenagers, grown-ups, search your heart out. It's time to say, cleanse me. Because we're fixing to take the communion. And do you know that taking the communion and you not in the right channel could be death to you? People don't realize what these things are. They don't think about God, that He watches us every moment of every day and every night that we ever live, and sees everything that we do and knows why we do them. And yet we just go along. We just believe, well, we're in the bride. But search us. Let's just pray together. Father, we ask You, Lord, that You'd just come down as the prophet said. Search out our hearts, Lord. You know in our hearts that what we're trying to do is to get the people to see You. We don't have anything against anybody, because we can't keep anything, Lord, there and be right with You. But we're trying to get all of us to see it. We'd like for everybody to see the Word, Lord. And we realize that it's only through You that any of us are saved. Search our hearts, Lord. Make us right before we take the communion. Bring us to a place that we can see Christ among us. Forgive our sins. If they be any of us, Lord, that have anything in our hearts in any way that's not right, cleanse us, Lord. Cover us by the blood. Guide us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing a little verse. If anyone has a need before we take the communion, now get everything out of your way. before we take the communion. Let's just sing a little. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation. Get everything right now. We're taking it. Don't take the communion. On Calvary Street. When they took the communion in the Bible, Brother Darty, Brother Colley, when they took the communion in the Bible, you remember what they were? They were clothed and ready to go on their way. The journey was before. And they knew death was out there on the outside. That death was waiting for them if that didn't cover them. If that blood that was on that doorpost didn't cover them, they knew they was to die. That's how serious it is. So we ought to be just as serious when we think about it, that the communion that we take, the Bible said because of taking it unworthily, many are sickly among you and many sleep. They dead. They had to die and go on. They died. And many died spiritually. Because that was it for them, see, when they turned down mercy. You may be seated as we just read our scripture if you want to turn with us to Corinthians. You'll read while the brothers are preparing the communion. You think about the message tonight now. And just keep everything right. On page 17 of What the Holy Ghost is Given For, Brother Branham says, if you don't live the life, stay away from it. Talking about the communion, taking it. He said, if you don't live the life, stay away from it. And he said, if you don't take it, it shows your own conscience is guilty. If you take it and don't live right, you just bring condemnation to your own self. Because we have the Word, there's no place to hide no more. No place, no way to hide. I just do that for our own benefit. Keep ourselves clean and ready. You know not what the hour the Lord might summon us to come on high. It's getting close to something. I know it is. I know it. It's not because I feel it. These people I've heard of, they say, boy, I know we're in the end time. I just feel it. Well, I don't go by feelings. I go by what the Word says. The Word says we're getting close. So then we have to be there. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's stand together and just tarry one for another before we go on into the communion, praying one for another.